It's great to see everyone. Over the last two classes, we've been talking about our enemy, the devil. And I'm going to continue from there tonight. On Sunday, we started looking at Genesis chapter 3. Where Satan, in essence, was calling God to be the liar. And that was the reason he gave Eve for God saying, you know, don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. Because God wasn't telling you the truth. You will not surely die, he said. And obviously we found that, again, like his native language, he was lying. And as a result of that one act, mankind was plunged into sin. And we're still paying the consequences till today. And the whole point, again, I was making on Sunday as I closed out was there's no such thing as private sin. Your sin will affect people around you. Can I get an amen? Okay, your sin will affect other people around you. Especially if you're a father or a mother, it will affect your children. It will affect your marriage. If you're single, it will affect your loved ones. It will affect your family. And we got to be very, very careful because Satan's main goal is to make sure that there is distance between us and God. And we got to make sure that we do not allow that to happen. If you can shut that off, that will be fine. Let's see. Again, like I said on Sunday, Satan never told Eve the consequences of their disobedience. My light. I want to be able to see my notes. You know, I'm not 25 anymore. The eyesight is going. Thank you. Let's see. Satan never told Eve the consequences of their disobedience. And again, that's the way the devil always operates. He will never tell you, you know, your downfall. He will just talk you into it. And then when you do, obviously, you know, he's nowhere to be found. He's somewhere laughing. Saying, you know, I got you that time. And it's going to go on to somebody else. And so we got to be very, very, very careful. Amen? Amen? And I hope and pray that as we're talking through all this stuff, one question I asked as we began this is that could you name 10 scriptures that talk about the devil last week? And I hope that by the time we're done, this is going to take us throughout the entire month of June, all right? That you're going to be able to go to, you know, several passages. I'm not even saying necessarily that we know the verse, but at least you can name the book and the number, all right? We've already talked about 1 Peter 5. That should be ingrained in our memories by now. That's the verse that talks about be alert and self-controlled. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Amen? Then verse 9 talks about how you and I need to resist him. Okay? We talked about John 8. About Satan being the father of lies. When he lies, he speaks his native language, the Bible says. You need to know that verse. Okay? Last Sunday, we started looking at Genesis chapter 3. Okay? The first deception, so to speak. You need to know that. We talked about Revelation 12. The war that was fought in heaven. Way back when. And Satan was tossed to the earth. That verse tells us that, you know, Satan and his demons and his angels fought back. Michael, the archangel, and the angels. And he was tossed down. And he says, well, the Bible says tells us that, you know, he's furious because he knows that his time is short. He couldn't fight against God and succeed. He says, so, well, if I can do that, I'm going to go after God's offspring. Are you with me? That's you and I. That's why we're in this mess that we are in today. Are you with me? But the exciting thing is one day, this war will be over. Can I get an amen? It's going to be exciting. We already know how this turns out. We know who wins this war. Amen? We talked about 1 John 3. I referred to this last week, Thursday. That the reason Jesus came was to destroy the devil's work. You need to know that passage. Amen? And then obviously, I also referenced Ephesians 6, where it talks about we and I need to take the sword of the Spirit. This is the only offensive weapon. When you look at the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, all the others are defensive weapons. This is the only offensive one. And it talks about how you and I, with this, we can quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Amen, church? And so I kind of want to continue from there tonight. And the title of the lesson tonight is Obedience, the Doorway to Blessings. Obedience, the Doorway to Blessings. You know, out in California one day, this lady was out taking the garbage out. And she saw this little cat as she was getting ready to get back into the house. It was kind of dark. And so she goes, oh, you know, this must be a stray cat of some kind. Oh, kitty, kitty. Oh, you kitty, 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 kitty. Come on in. Oh, kitty, kitty. And obviously, you know, the cat came closer. And, you know, she bent over kind of to pick him up. And the next thing, the cat went, wow, and scratched her on the face. It wasn't a cat. It was a little mountain lion. Okay, they look like cats. But she had no idea what she was saying. Hey, little kitty, 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 kitty. Obviously, if she knew, she wouldn't have done that. You see, the point is, Satan is that way. Satan will never reveal his true identity to you. Because he knows that, you know, a lot of times today, you will see Satan depicted as this, you know, being with two horns and is reddish looking. Let me tell you something. I don't believe he looks anything like that. And he's got a tail. Satan looks like the average person. Okay? We look at that passage later that talks about how he masquerades as an angel of light. If you and I really saw the devil in his true form, we would run for our lives. Are you with me? So we've got to be very, very careful. Now, John 10, we should be familiar with this passage. In verse 7, this is one of the seven I am statements that Jesus made in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 10, beginning in verse 7, therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I, on the other hand, Jesus is saying, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Another version talks about how to have life more abundantly. Amen? But it says the thief, that is the devil, comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I don't know about you. There's nothing good about any of those three things. Okay? Satan is not your friend. It never has been and it never will be. Satan has one thing in mind, is to steal from you. To steal your joy, to steal your life. Satan is out to kill you. To kill your life, to kill your marriage. Satan is out to destroy you. He's out to destroy me. Okay? He's not our friend. He never was and he will never be. This is Jesus talking. Are you with me? And that's why you and I need to be alert and we need to be on guard every single day. Again, as we begin tonight, I want to ask, are there any areas in your life that Satan has taken a hold of? Because you and I need to be able to identify those areas and take them back. Amen? Satan makes nice promises he has no intention of keeping. None. He will lie to you. He will throw in a few scriptures here. Satan knows the Bible. We're going to look at that in a second. And Satan will also make promises to you. But he has no intention of keeping them. If anything, when things go from bad to worse, he's nowhere to be found. The best way I know to keep the devil out is to keep Christ in. Now turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We're looking at Jesus our big brother, our Savior, our Lord, our God. Satan also went after him. He's not a respecter of persons. If the devil had the audacity to tempt Jesus, how about you? How about me? He's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of me either. Luke chapter 4, beginning verse 1. The Bible says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, again, you see again, we don't read of anywhere where he was invited to this scene. He just showed up. Okay, like I said on Sunday, he doesn't need an invitation. Okay, he just shows, he will always show up. Are you with me? Okay, he's always the uninvited guest. He will always crash the party. Are you with me? Okay, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me. That's a lie. And I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. Get this, guys. Now Satan is going to be quoting scriptures. Okay? For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put your Lord, your God, to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. The devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. You know, he had been out in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible tells us. He didn't drink anything, he didn't eat anything. That's very difficult to do. A 40-day fast can kill you. I mean, this kind of fast that Jesus did. Don't just get up, oh, you know, I want to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. You need to seek some serious advice. Okay? If not, we're going to be all gathered saying farewell to you. Okay? It's good to fast, but don't just go do a 40-day fast with no food, no water, without seeking some serious input. Are you with me? But Jesus did it. Other, you know, we read of other people that also did it in the scriptures. Moses did it, as a matter of fact, twice. And the prophet Elijah also did it. But this is very, very difficult. The devil shows up. He knows, Jesus hadn't eaten, you know, for a long time. He says, why don't you tell these stones to become bread? And notice what Jesus did. He quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. It says, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. And another version, if you go read the whole thing, it tells us, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Amen? That's how you counter the devil. When the devil comes talking to you. Do you have the scriptures ready to fight him off with? Okay, the second temptation in the account, Jesus again replied, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He's quoting now Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. Satan starts quoting scripture. It's very interesting because he stops because the next verse, if you go look at it in Psalm 91, talks about him. How Jesus is going to crush his head. He conveniently left that out. You see, this guy knows what he's doing. Satan is good at what he does. I dare say that the devil knows the Bible a whole lot more than a lot of us in this room. But you see, when you and I know the scriptures, when Satan comes tempting, we're able to ward him off. We're able to fight him off. Amen? If you don't have the scriptures on you and in your mind, Satan will mess with you. Obviously, Jesus obeyed God and never fell for any of Satan's lies. So like I said earlier, the best way I know to keep the devil out is to keep Christ in. Because you know he's coming. Maybe not this hour, maybe not in the next 2 hours, but he's coming. Before the day is out, I promise you, he will show up. And that's why we got to have the word of God on our hearts, where we're meditating on it. We're thinking about it. Amen? So that when he comes, you know, we got our bullets, so to speak. You know, the word, to me, I believe, is like spiritual, having spiritual bullets that you can fire back at the devil. Okay? And just like any person, I don't believe the devil likes being shot at. He will take off. Are you with me? But remember, this is the only offensive weapon that you and I have. And we've got to make sure that we're using it. Amen? Now turn to Leviticus 26. And this is where we're going to spend the rest of the evening. Leviticus 26. Again, in Leviticus 26, this is God talking to the children of Israel, talking to his people. And let's begin reading in verse 1. Leviticus 26. Do not make idols or set up any image or sacred stone for yourselves. And do not place a carved stone in your land to bow down before it. I am the Lord your God. Observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Verse 3. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees of the field their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting. And you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down and no one will make you afraid. I will remove savage beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. Verse 10, you will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. And we'll stop there for now. This is a very encouraging passage. God starts off by saying, you know what? Do not make idols or set up an image or sacred stone and so on. It says, I am the Lord your God. Basically, quotes the first and second commandments. You know, the first commandment says, you shall have no other gods besides me. The second commandment says, you shall not, you know, have for yourself any kind of idol or image and stuff. And so it just right off the bat says, hey, guys, no other gods besides me. No idols. Okay? And then it says, it begins in verse 3. It says, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands. And then he starts telling them what will happen. And for me, this is extremely encouraging. He says, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground would yield its crops. Remember that back then, they were basically an agricultural society. They were totally dependent on, quote unquote, the elements. And God says, you know what? If you obey me, I will send rain. Your crops will grow. I will bless you that way. Are you with me? I mean, it's like saying, you know what? If you obey me, let me tell you something. Your economy is going to be on the up and up every time. And we can say amen to that in 2012. Amen. I mean, how would you like the American economy to be growing by like 8-9% every year? I mean, that's incredible. No, nobody sees that these days. I mean, if you get 2%, you're lucky. But that's what God is saying here. He says, you know what? I will grant peace in the land, verse 6. He says, I will remove savage beasts, and the sword will not pass through your country. In other words, there will be no wars. You'll be able to live in peace. In verse 7, he says, I like this one. He says, you will pursue your enemies. Notice, it's not that the enemies will pursue them. See, a lot of times, it's your enemies pursuing you, right? And then you got to take your stand and defend yourself. But he says, no, you will pursue your enemies. He says, 5 of you will go after 100. 100 against 10,000. In other words, the odds will be in their favor. Even when they pursue their enemies. In verse 9, it says, I will look upon you with favor and make you fruitful. And then the part I like the most in this entire list is verse 10. It says, you will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it and make room for the new. I mean, you're going to have a surplus. You know how it is? How many of us in here have had like a 5-course meal? Okay? I'm talking of in a really nice restaurant. Or sometimes, you know, during Thanksgiving. When all that food has been set up on a certain table. And you're sitting there, you know, you're getting in there, you're still eating the stuff, and it's just, it's just so sweet. And are you done? Because, you know, here's the next course. Such like, you don't even want to, you know, kind of empty the plate. You know what I'm talking about? You got to let that go. So that something else comes in. That's what he's talking about here. Incredible. If we simply obey him. In other words, we're not going to be living from meal to meal. We're not going to be living from paycheck to paycheck. You see, these scriptures are telling us that if we do obey God, this is the doorway for God to pour his blessings into our lives. See, a lot of times today, even you hear a lot of these prosperity preachers talking about, oh yeah, God's going to bless you and God's going to give you this. First of all, it's a lie. Because every time the Bible talks about prosperity and God blessing you, it always has to do with obedience to God. Always. Every single instance. It's got nothing to do with money. You see, the problem we have is we want the blessings. But where is the obedience? You want God to give you a great job, but where is the obedience on a daily basis to his word? You want God to bless you with a godly wife or godly husband, but where is the obedience? If you obey God, God will bring about the blessings. Remember, he doesn't lie. He cannot change his nature. So the point of this whole passage is, when you and I are disobeying God, guess what you're doing? You're withholding the blessings that God wants to pour into your life. That's all that's going on. A lot of us, some of the hardships we're experiencing are self-inflicted. Just look at the man or the woman in the mirror. Start there. Ask yourself, what are the areas in my life where I am not fully and totally obeying God? And when you make that change, and we're going to read about that in a second, you watch God open up the floodgates. Amen? It is so important. It is so exciting. Verse 9 says, I will look with favor and make you fruitful. And then to me, the most important part is in verses 11 and 12, where it says, I will put my dwelling place among you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God. In other words, I will dwell right there with you. How sweet is that? You can take everything else as long as God is with me. That's all I need. Are you with me? Not only will he shower us with, you know, physical blessings and stuff like that, but he says, you know what? I will be right there with you. I will be in your midst. And it, truly, if you think about it, isn't that all we want? For God to be with us? And that's the promise he made to us, you know, in Matthew 28 and other places. When he says, I will be with you always. Amen? Very, very important. But it's all about obedience. Obedience to our Father. Okay? I know the teens stayed behind tonight, and that's fine. And that's great. Let me let you guys in on a little secret. When you obey your parents, when you are obeying your parents, let me tell you something. They want to do stuff for you. You won't even have to ask. It's all about your obedience. What am I talking about? You know what? Could you clean that room? When your mom or dad tells you to clean your room, first of all, you say, well, that's my room. It's not your room. You don't pay for that house. Okay? You're not even renting. Okay? You're squatting. You occupy a room in their house. But anyway, when they tell you, could you clean up that room? You need to simply just flat obey and go do it. They shouldn't have to tell you twice or three times. I mean, okay, I tell you to go clean a room and it takes you 6 hours or whatever. You don't do it till the next day. And then you come ask me for something. Oh, Dad, can I get some money? I want to go get some ice cream. Oh, really? You thought I forgot what I asked you to do yesterday? And now you're asking me for ice cream? Guess what the answer is going to be? The answer is no. God is the same way. Now, unlike God, He has unconditional love, all right? And we as parents, we do too, but we're not God. We don't have all the resources. Are you with me? But let me tell you something. You're not going to disobey him and think he's not going to bless you. It doesn't work that way. But when you're obeying the Father, when you're obeying your natural father and your natural mother, let me tell you something. They just want to do stuff for you. You wouldn't even have to ask. I figured that out a long time ago as a young person. Like, wow, you know, when my mom tells me to go do this, I just need to do it. And even go beyond. Mom, can I have this? Yeah. And then I noticed she would start telling other people, oh yeah, he's a really good boy. He's done this and he's doing this and he's doing this. And so I was getting stuff, not just from my mom, but from relatives too. Oh, I figured out very quickly how this stuff worked. And so, that's the secret, guys. Obedience. And again, the Bible calls you to obey your parents in everything so that it may go well with you. Your parents are not trying to steal your fun. Whatever it is they're telling you to do or not do is for your own good. Just the same way with God. Whatever God tells us to do is for our own good. Amen? Kids who disobey, you're on your own. You're not going to get nothing from the Father. I'm sorry. And then, you look in beginning of verse 14. He says, but. Uh-oh. He says, but. If you will not listen to me and carry out all these commands, and if you reject my decrees and abhor my laws and fail to carry out all my commands and so violate my covenant, then I will do this to you. And now he's going to start listing the consequences of their disobedience. And the first thing I want you to notice is that this list is twice as long. In case you didn't see that. The list is twice as long. It says, beginning in verse 16, it says, I will bring upon you sudden terror, wasting diseases, and fever that will destroy your sight and drain away your life. I don't know about you, that doesn't sound good. You will plant seed in vain because your enemies will eat it. In other words, their enemies will bully them. You know, there's a lot these days been talked about how, you know, certain kids are bullying certain kids. It's terrible. Okay? And again, I'm glad the kids are in here. If there's anybody bullying you, you need to come talk to me. Talk to your parents because we need to take care of that situation. I mean, can you imagine? Here you are. You're in, again, I'm making this up. You're, whether in middle school or high school, and you buy your lunch, and this bully just shows up and shoves you to the side and grabs your meal. That says, if you do that, that's what's going to happen to you. The enemies were going to bully them. Can you imagine cooking and getting food ready and then some stronger person just shows up and says, give me that. And you have to hand it over. I mean, this is terrible. But God says, if they don't obey him, that's what's going to happen. He says, I will set my face against you, verse 17, so that you'll be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you, and you will flee even when no one is pursuing you. That's not good. In other words, they're going to be living in fear. Can you imagine somebody running and there's nobody chasing them? Now notice what it says in verse 18. It says, if after all this you will not listen to me, I will punish you by your sins seven times over. I will break down your stubborn pride and make the sky above you like iron and the ground beneath you like bronze. Your strength will be spent in vain because your soil will not yield its crops, nor will the trees of the land yield their fruit. He's telling them basically your economy is going to collapse. You are going to be working for nothing. Again, because of disobedience. But notice, in verse 18, it says, if after all this, in other words, okay, you have been disobedient, if you would simply change, things will get better. But if you don't, it will get worse. And you see the progression as you continue to read the passage. It goes from bad to worse. Are you with me? He says, I will break down your stubborn pride. Things are not going to work out for you economically. Why? Simply because you are not obeying God's commands. You are not obeying God's decrees. And the Bible has a lot to say about the way you and I need to live. A great deal. It goes on in verse 21. Again, it says, you know what? If you remain hostile toward me, in other words, they don't change. It says, this time, I will send wild animals against you, and they will rob you of your children, destroy your cattle, and make you so few in number that your roads will be deserted. In other words, things are going to get from bad to worse. In their case, wild animals will now come in and start, you know, grabbing their cattle and even go after some of their kids. Simply because they would not obey God. It gets worse. In verse 23, it says, even in spite of these things, you do not accept my correction, but continue to be hostile toward me. I myself will be hostile toward you and will afflict you for your sins seven times over. And I will bring the sword upon you to avenge the breaking of the covenant. When you withdraw into your cities, when you withdraw into your cities, I will send a plague among you, and you will be given into enemy hands. When I cut off supply of bread, 10 women will be able to bake your bread in one oven, and they will dole out bread by weight. You will eat, but will not be satisfied. That does not sound good. I have a friend who doesn't like Chinese food. And I asked him one day, I said, why don't you like Chinese food? He said, you know what? I go to a Chinese restaurant, the food never fills me up. I have to go back home and again open the refrigerator. I said, well, I don't know what that feels like. Because, you know, it fills me up. But it's a horrible feeling to eat and not be satisfied. You eat and you're still hungry. On a continuous basis. Why? Because of their disobedience. Verse 27 says, if in spite of all this, You see, it's amazing to me. At any point, they can easily turn. They can then make the decision, you know what, I'm just going to repent. I'm going to start obeying. You know what, this is a fight I can't win against God. Let me just simply obey him. Because guess what? God is not going to back down. We will. He's not going to back down for anyone. We have to back down. We have to turn. Verse 27, if in spite of this, you still do not listen to me, but continue to be hostile toward me, then in my anger I will be hostile toward you, and I myself will punish you for your sins 7 times over. You will eat, oh, this is terrible. You will eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters. Can you imagine where things get so bad? There's no food. You start eating your own kids. We can't imagine that today in America. I mean, how bad does it have to get? Remember, these things are in the Bible for a reason. And then right after that, I talked about how, you know what, I will send you into exile. But to me, the most exciting part of this whole passage begins in verse 40. But, here's another but. But it's a good but. Okay? But is not always bad. But if they will confess their sins and the sins of their fathers, their treachery against me and their hostility toward me, which made me hostile toward them so that I send them into the land of their enemies, then when their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they pay for their sin, I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham. And I will remember the land, for the land will be deserted by them and enjoy its Sabbath while it lies desolate without them. They will pay for their sins because they rejected my laws and abhorred my decrees. Yet in spite of this, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them or abhor them so as to destroy them completely, breaking my covenant with them. I am the Lord their God. But for their sake, I will remember the covenant with their ancestors whom I brought out of Egypt in the sight of the nations to be their God. I am the Lord God. These are the decrees, the laws, and the regulations that the Lord established on Mount Sinai between himself and the Israelites through Moses. That's amazing. That no matter how much we mess up in not really obeying God, in not really, you know, every day making the Bible our standard and for the way we do things and what we do and what we say and where we hang out, and the way we do things. God says if we will just confess our treachery and turn, that he will remember the covenant he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it will basically bring us back towards himself. What a God. Are you with me? And so the point is, at any point on this road, you can always turn around. That there is no such thing as, you know, I'm so far gone, I'm so horrible as a person that, you know, God could never forgive me. Now remember, yes, when we sin, we will suffer the consequence of our sin. But God will forgive if you change. See, a lot of times what we want, okay, God, I want you to forgive me, but then I don't want to suffer any consequence for the stuff that I've done. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. You will suffer the consequences. Now, God will forgive. Are you with me? In terms of things, we will not get from bad to worse. But you are still going to suffer the consequences of your disobedience. Amen? Because God is trying to teach us something. If God not only forgave us, but also would not allow us to suffer the consequence of our disobedience, then we don't learn anything. Are you with me? Very, very important. But you know what? If you really think about it, how arrogant can we be as human beings? Look in Matthew 28. Again, we're talking about obedience and how that is the doorway to God's blessings. God just says, obey me. He's given us laws that are to be fully obeyed. They are not burdensome. They are not complicated to understand. They're very simple. A 5-year-old can understand them. even if they don't understand what the words totally mean. You know, Andrea Parks was telling me the other day, our oldest daughter, they were somewhere and, you know, she was talking and she was talking to this lady and I forget what they were talking about. And Annalise goes, Mr. Richard said, you must not commit adultery. And you must not lie. And her mom was really surprised because she couldn't remember. Wait a second. Wow. That was the first service when they brought her into the adult service when I was talking about the Ten Commandments. Whenever that was. I mean, she actually said the word adultery. Obviously, she doesn't understand what that means. And she pronounced it properly. And obviously, the lady was kind of blown away like, this little kid knows this stuff? And so I say that to say, you know what? The words in the scriptures are not that complicated. You know, and even sometimes, you know, I know we have our kids in the service, you know, and there's a reason for it. What do you call it? You think they don't know what's going on? They really do. They may not understand everything I'm talking about, but I promise you, when they're in their early 20s, when they leave your house, they're going to remember all these things. Now, prayerfully by then, they will become disciples. And the reason I say that is because I remember those things that were said when I was dragged to church, when I was growing up. So don't think your kids don't know what's going on or they're not listening. Or it's just a waste of time. It's not a waste of time. Are you with me? But Matthew 8... Matthew 8. Did I say 28? Oh, I'm sorry. Matthew 8. Again, you're familiar with the story. Because of time, I'm not going to read the whole thing. You're in the boat. There's a storm. Jesus is asleep. I find it very interesting. The only time we have in scripture where Jesus was sleeping, and what did they do? They went and woke him up. I don't know about you. I don't like being woken up when I'm sleeping. But anyway, they go wake him up. He says, oh, you of little faith. In verse 27, the Bible says, the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. I mean, think about that for a second. The winds. You've been to the beach. You've seen the waves. They obey God. And you and I, mortal men, who don't even have this kind of power, like waves and wind, we don't obey God. We kind of, you know, stick up our nose at him. Do you see the arrogance? When even we, the waves and the wind obey God. Try that out next time. When there's a storm outside. Go outside and get, hey, wind, stop! And let's see how you fare. Dude, the storm is not going to obey you. Yet they obey God. And here we are, we're not even as powerful as these guys. And God tells us to jump. And we're asking, why do I have to do that? God tells us to go. And we're asking, why me? Why do I have to go? I like it where I'm standing. Do you see the arrogance? Look in Mark chapter 1. Mark 1. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. In verse 27, again, it says, the people were also amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him.
That's an amazing thing. Even evil spirits obey God. They can't help but obey God. Now, they're evil spirits. Don't get me wrong. Okay? But even evil spirits, when God says, get out, they get out. When God says, be quiet, they have to be quiet. And yet you and me, mortal men that don't even have this kind of power, we stick up our nose at the Almighty and say, I'm not going to obey you. Okay? As if that was not enough. Look in Luke chapter 7. Let me give you another example. I'm just trying to show us man's arrogance in disobedience. In Luke chapter 7, I'm almost done. You know the story. This woman, she's a widow. She's lost her son. Luke chapter 7, in verse 14. Then he went up, talking about Jesus, and touched the coffin. And those carrying it stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Incredible. Even dead people obey God. Dead people obey God. And you and I, who are living, who are breathing, we have the audacity to stick up our nose at the Almighty and say, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to obey that. I mean, can you imagine? There's a funeral going on, and there's a casket up front. Every once in a while, you know, I'm sitting there, you know, in a funeral service. And I've just always wondered what that would feel like. If I could just walk up and just say, you know what, get up. First of all, that whole room will empty out. I mean, people will take off. I mean, that's power right there. I mean, I'm not talking about somebody that was, you know, been, you know, quote unquote dead for a few hours and they're not sure. I'm talking about somebody that's been in the refrigerator for like 3 days. And you're about to put them in the ground and just say, you know what? Get up. The point is, the dead obey God. Why can't us who are still living? Amen? Jesus said, you can write these references down. Jesus says in Luke 11:28, you know, they went and told him one time, hey, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. They want to talk to you. He says, who are my mothers and brothers and who's my family, basically? He says, anybody that obeys God is a member of my family. I don't know about you. That's the family that I want to belong to. Amen? It's our obedience that makes us a member and part of God's family. It's not you coming to the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. I'm sorry to disappoint you. That is not going to cut it. It's your obedience to the Almighty. It's your obedience to His Word. Amen? The devil hates it when you and I are obeying God. He can't stand it. Because he knows when you and I are obeying God, God is going to bless us. God is going to be amongst us. Are you with me? And so I resolved. 26 years ago. That I was going to make the devil miserable. By obeying God. That's why I became a Christian. So every single day I wake up, it's like, you know what? How can I give Satan a hard day today? That's all I'm thinking about. By obeying this. By living according to this. He's not going to give me a bad day. I'm going to give him a bad day. He's going to go after somebody else to find to mess with. Are you listening to me? That's what it's all about. You know, brothers and sisters, this is not rocket science. It really isn't. You want to make life miserable for the devil? Obey God. Every day. Every instruction. God says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Just do it. Oh, I don't feel like it. All the more reason. Amen? God says, you know what? Forgive others just as I've forgiven you. You know, somebody did something, yeah, and they're in the wrong, yeah, but you got to go forgive them. Obey it. And you watch what God does. God says, you know what? You seek me first and my righteousness, and you see if I don't add all these different things to you. Yeah, you are worried about, you know, this and how to do this and how to do this and how to do this and how you're going to do this. Just obey God. Amen? God will pour the blessings. You know, the Bible says a lot about how we need to handle God's money. Remember, I said God's money. It's not your money. Okay? That's the first thing we need to get straight. It's not your money. It never was. Okay? So I don't agree with that. Well, come show me. Come talk to me after. I will show you scriptures. It's not your money. It's God's money. But there's a way God wants us to handle it. The first thing he talks about is how we need to give him first fruits. Can I get an amen? Amen. First fruits. What does that mean? In other words, that money ain't yours. It comes up the top. That is not your money. If you go spend the money, my Bible says you are stealing from God. You're a thief. See, I don't know how come I can't seem to make ends meet. Well, if you just start obeying those verses, God says, you watch. See, if I don't open up the floodgates of heaven such that I'll give you so much blessing, you won't even have enough room to have all that stuff. This ain't rocket science. It's about obedience. Amen? God says, trust in me and lean not on your own understanding. In all of our ways, we need to acknowledge him, and he promises to make all of our paths straight. Oh, I love it. Is it easy to obey the Bible? No, it is not. But it's very fulfilling. Amen, church? You're going to have peace of mind. You're going to have joy. You're going to be truly fulfilled and happy and content. It's all about obeying the Bible. The one thing the devil does not want us to do. And so, brothers and sisters, I'm appealing to us tonight. Remember that obedience is the doorway to God opening up the blessings and pouring it into our lives. That's the key. So, you go give the devil a hard day. Every day, you got my permission by obeying the scriptures. Amen? Alan, please, could you come forward and close out with a word of prayer? Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity tonight that we've had to hear your word preached by Richard, to consider the enemy that's out there trying to take us down, to understand that basically he's trying to get us to ignore the scriptures and not obey them. Father, I pray that you would help us to have the resolve to, number one, to know the scriptures, and then number two, to obey them. And Father, I pray that you would help us to give the devil a hard time by obeying and by not listening to all the temptations around us. Father, lead us not into temptation. Help us to avoid the temptation. Help us to just focus on your word and obeying that. Help us to encourage one another as we do that. Father, we thank you for the church. We thank you for all your blessings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dismissed.